master our being and discover within you the power of silence.
All things are within you. The eternal song of the spheres. The majesty of perfect silence. have volunteered to be the reception getters. Observe this behavior and learn from it, that they may help their brothers off the treadmill. For the purpose of all experience is to turn the unknown into the known. And this is growth. Not one portion of existence is not designed with the evolution of awareness in mind. The unknown, where growth lies, is the destiny of every life form. And from this eternal perspective, calmness is born. If one were to sit high upon a cliff, observing the cyclist on his bicycle far below, it would seem that he is traveling in a straight line. But nothing can be further from the truth. If we are on that bicycle, we would see that it would move from left to right, left to right, wobbling a bit this way, then that, with the momentum of the pedals. Yet, the eternal perspective straightened the vicissitudes of the journey. Let us therefore embrace the moment, for that is all we have, and it is in that moment that our silence can be found. For thoughts as a resistance to life pulls us out of the moment into the immediate future or past. It is said that naturalists have observed the heron, whose mortal enemy is the ego. When under attack, the ferocious dive by the ego to get his prey has stood in the majesty of calmness, bracing himself upon his legs, standing firm. And the ego would dive, and with the heron standing with his beak pointed at the sky, the ego has brought about his own downfall through the very ferocity of his flight. It has been observed by naturalists that the ego has impaled himself upon the beak of the heron, who did not but stand in the majesty of silence. This is poise, the most enviable of traits, for it is indicative of true mastery. A multitude of accomplished attitudes go into producing that refined quality of calmness and poise. One of them is timing. karma would not. There is a rhythm to life that when we are silent, we can hear, and we march to a higher drum, and we dance the dance of life with equanimity and grace and poise. But let us examine the contribution of grace to this majesty of poise. Grace knows that it is a conduit for life. It gives freely to all it encounters, whether it is an encouraging word, gentleness where it's needed, firmness where that is needed, or whether it is but a helping hand or a word of hope or genuine assistance. Grace gives to life when it is necessary and from a place of stillness that can dictate to it the right course of action. It is in the silence that the whisperings of our heart lights our way. The grace of seeing life flow through us gives, for it knows that it is but a vessel dipped into the ocean of life from which our fellow man can drink. Lightness of being, the fluid motion of a being unencumbered by the weight of self-reflection, living innocently in the silence of the moment. Having no self-pity nor self-importance, not carrying the previous moment into this, and perfect fluidity, the ability to change directions in an instant if needs be. And so it is that patience comes into play. The patience of the heron awaiting his attacker, seeing himself as the center of his universe, the center of strength, drawing upon the power of all around him. The tower of strength, unmovable and unmoved in the face of vicious intent. Standing in our silence, beloved ones, we cannot allow the madness of the world to pull us out of our center. Do we really wish to be pulled to and fro, here or there, by the madness of those around us? Or would we stand firm in the silence of mind, within by the rambling clutter of their thoughts. For as long as the mind is clattering in its endless dialogue, the masses need not feel those events in their life that still give them a knee-jerk reaction, because they have not yielded their insights. Let us see behind the appearances with the patience of a master that knows that those actions cannot be taken personally, that the actions stemmed from unresolved issues, from blindness, from misperception, and through the prison bars of social conditioning, the greatest enslavement of all. How could we take that personally? And now, let us see also how we can remove that internal dialogue that keeps us in the place of the cluttered mind, instead of the silence of the open heart. Beloved ones, the dialogue is the result of all the many times we try to put behind us painful experiences as though they were an accident, as though they should never have happened. Is it then that we think that all life should be a seasonless place of sunshine, without the beauty of a winter storm, or the poignancy of a rain shower? If we value all our emotions equally, for all our indicators upon the path we walk, it shall be so that we need not fear our pain, nor bury our anger, knowing full well that anger is but a means to break up illusion, that pain is but prodding change where there is stagnation, or where we are out of step with the rhythm of life, where change was not made at the right moment. If we fear not the emotions that might come forth, let us examine the events in our life we wish not to look at, until they heal the insights that lie hidden within them. These challenges of our life are in fact our treasure chests, and in the silence of our mind, directing the question of the insight of such an occurrence, let us meditate.
Simply Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Fire is hot, you say. Who told you that? If you approach it from a higher consciousness, it is but light. And you can wash your hands in fire as easily as you can in water. Water is wet, you say. But that is not the case. Unless you believe it to be cold or heat, is but that because of your body's resistance. If you allow it to flow through you, it need not be. And now, the many conditionings that tells you about what tastes you should have, what loyalties you should have, what career you should follow, what somebody else was taught by their parents and their parents and their parents, what is decent. A new paradigm is afoot. What is your highest truth shall come through your heart. For magic once again exists upon the earth and is as close as our fingertips. Veils between kingdoms are thinning. The magic of the unseen creatures that are ever around us can be felt now. Life is definitely changing. For we are, as an entire cosmos, steadily raising in frequency. Life is changing. Will you hear its different song? If you listen to the voice of conditioning, of education, that told you what was valuable, what was successful, and what is not. Oftentimes, we go to psychologists to help us adjust to the world. But the world itself is abnormal. What is it that we want? To be adjusted to an abnormal world and call that normal? Beloved ones, let us trace every action to see its origin. And if it is not from our heart, if it is because we are living according to the dictates of others, or indeed to keep others from growing by sheltering them, we are betraying that contract we made with the infinite of what we have come to solve through our experiences. For our highest truth comes through our hearts. And if we creative as having too much of this or too little of that? Do we still carry programming that was passed from generation to generation about what men should or cannot be and what women cannot do? Those labels we have assigned to ourselves obscure the purity of the feelings that are meant to guide us within the majesty of silence. When we utilize these labels to validate ourselves, we are building an identity that gets more and more complex and harder and harder to see through, to find ourselves, until eventually the veneer of labels, of identity that we have bought as others have given it to us, or have believed ourselves, have become so thick that finally we can no longer find the pureness of our essence. Even the positive labels become a source of identity. We shall always retain self-awareness forever and ever. That essence which we are will stand out from those of others. But identity is imposed upon us by outside circumstances. And once again, it is maintained by that dialogue which keeps us out of silence. Let us take time each day to feed the soul by sitting in the place of eternal time. Eternal time and meditation is not the same. Meditation is a specific set of mind in which we are in an altered state. Eternal time, on the other hand, is where we are fully aware of the moment. Except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The great master once said, it is living in eternal time that takes us back to the innocence of our childhood. When we sat upon the grass and watched the ant crawl across a leaf and the clouds flit across the sky, and the golden sunlight streamed through the leaves, and every smell was intense, and every feeling immediate, and every sound was heard by that little child, fully aware of the moment. But his mother, steeped in care, living in the previous moment or the next, embroiled in her thoughts, fails to see the beauty of the butterfly wings that flits by, fails to smell the roses or the honeysuckle upon the breeze, fails to hear the rustle of a you shall wear, what you shall eat. Tomorrow will take care of itself, beloved ones. If tomorrow is shaped by the thoughts of today, but you forsake this moment today, where shall the future come from? The future is born of the moment. But when we always escape that moment by living in the next, we form that future not consciously, but haphazardly. Indeed, if we forsake the moment, where shall the future come from? Within these words lie a great truth. For while others in the deepest of distress are moments of pivotal change to be found. Let us look deeper and deeper into the moment, and we shall always find only perfection. Let us look wider and wider, and we shall find that the perfection spans all of existence with its upholding hand, and that which we see as so catastrophic shall eventually also yield the insight of its perfection to those who care to see. Let us cease to oppose life. Let us throw off the shackles of conditioning. Let us remove from ourselves any world views that we have received. For a master has no world view. Let us also eliminate all personal identity and labels. For it is only in the absence of those that true and pure feeling can guide us. Distortion, disguised as feeling, is the result of personal labels and social conditioning. Now I wish one more time to give us the key of another obstacle to be removed that stands in the way of silence. It is the identity with the physical and the ego. Many sages have spoken about how this is to be overcome, but few have given the way. If you take time to gather the insights of your experiences, if you guard and guide your thoughts, would they not be the result of outside influences? If you remove your labels and live in that place which is the moment, the place of silence, one day, effortlessly, you will find that you no longer are what you thought you were, a bunch of feelings, thoughts, within a body, but instead you have gained a vast and different identity, a large perspective. You have become that which you truly are, a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience, a consciousness superimposed over all that is. This is your true identity. Your experience and your body is but a point in the vastness of who you are. If you think of yourself as only this small speck in space, your thoughts will keep you anchored. But when you allow the memory of your true being unique perspective superimposed over all that is to come forth. There is no need for thought, for you have become the eternal mind. Thoughts plus feelings act upon the substance of things hoped for and form your reality. They call in the circumstances of your life. Thoughts plus feelings create. But when you become a God-conscious being, a self-actualized, God-aware being that knows that he or she is not what it seems, but is as vast as all life, and that in God we dwell and have our being, and in us God dwells and has his her being. Creation takes place in a different way. No longer are thoughts and feelings necessary. In such stillness, this expanded awareness, there is but the slightest attention and a slight intention, and all of the cosmos will move to make it so. You are heirs to the kingdom of the infinite, not servants at the gate. The ancient scriptures say, "Be still and know that ye are gods." The divine heritage of the infinite is assuredly in each of us, as our essence lives forth in our children, or in the creation of our hands. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You are an eternal being, as vast as the cosmos. And with your destruction, the cosmos shall surely fall, for you are all things. May the peace of the infinite be yours, like the silence of eternity flow through you. Like a stream of clean water into a stagnant pond, may the purity of your essence uplift all life upon earth.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. Listen live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network. That's every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you next week.